Hello, hello, friends. Okay, so this is part two of the podcast episode about homeschooling. So if you did not listen to the previous episode, definitely go and do that because it is 100% like these need to go together. I just split them up because it was getting to be too long. I used to do some episodes that were like 45 minutes to an hour, but knowing my own season of life and most of my listeners, I am really trying to keep these like 30 minutes or less because they're just a lot easier to actually listen to from start to finish. So hopefully you already listened to the first part and now here we are on the second part. So picking up exactly where we left off, we were talking about learning styles and how, you know, when I went to school, the learning style was pretty cut and clear, like as far as how to pass it with good grades, like here's what you need to study for the test. And of course, that's good because they want you to be able to pass the test. Obviously, that's very nice. I was able to get good grades that way. But sometimes in a way, I have looked back and I'm thinking, was that actually the best way to retain that information? And I'm not like questioning their teaching skills whatsoever. I know this is how a lot of schools operate. But I look back and I think I literally remember studying for those tests and the answers that I knew I needed to know, I would like memorize them in a way that was almost like out of context of what that information actually was. Like I would memorize names of, you know, say it was like a history test, but I wouldn't actually remember like what that person was known for. I just knew like, okay, this is going to be on the test. Anyway, you probably get what I'm saying, so I don't want to digress too much on it, but comparing it to the learning style that is available in a homeschool environment where you can teach these things like in full color, if you will, you know, like you can fully talk about what it is that this information means to the student. It's like, okay, you want to learn about, I was just talking about animals with my daughter and how she'll be interested in one thing and then all of a sudden she's asking about another thing. And I have often thought to myself how if she was in a traditional school setting, and let's say, you know, they were talking about flowers or something, like we so often talk about at home, and then let's just say she asked about the bee who, you know, gets the pollen from the flowers, and then, or the nectar, and then let's say she started asking you about, like, well, when it gets cold out, what happens to the bee? And so often she asks things that we just start talking about that. And believe it or not, I have to look things up a lot. I mean, thank goodness for this age of technology right now. I would say that is a huge reason why homeschooling is so doable for so many moms, because she'll ask things and I'm like, oh my goodness, actually, I don't know what happens to a bee in the wintertime. And so we'll go and we'll look it up. And sometimes I'll just like briefly read it and then explain it to her. Or sometimes we'll watch like a YouTube video together. There are so many videos out there for kids. Like you can YouTube search, you know, such and such for kids. And I'll try to like either pre-watch it really quickly first just to make sure like it's good. Or there's just a lot of like YouTube channels that I've already seen a lot of their stuff. And I'm like, oh yeah, this is a good one. This is a good one. Now some people might be like, oh my goodness gracious, you're like sticking your daughter in front of a screen for homeschooling. Not quite. I'm not saying that at all, but I do say that very often we will pull out a brief like 5-minute video to explain something. And then the way I see that like retain in her mind, and later, you know, when my husband gets home, like she'll tell him about it, like, oh yeah, I learned about this, this, and this, or hear her telling like someone else about it. She's just so captivated by it. And myself thinking back to schooling, like sometimes when they would pull out, you know, the TV on that old school TV cart and stick in a VHS or something, watching those videos was sometimes like, especially for history or geography, those subjects that were like harder for me to grasp, watching those videos was usually like the most engaged I ever was. Like I really, really retained it that way. So me thinking at how with homeschooling, I have the flexibility of offering that for my kids is really awesome. So I could probably go on and on and on all day, but I just want to cover a few more points because I don't want this to be too long. I feel like by this point, you're probably either like, you know, convinced or not convinced. And I'm not even sharing this to like convince you or not convince you. I'm just sharing this to really explain like all the different things that I have researched, because I feel like A, it could be helpful for a mom who might be like considering homeschooling, whether your kids aren't old enough yet, or maybe they're in a traditional school setting and you actually have the option of switching things up. So you're looking into things, or B, This could be helpful for the mom who does not have the option of homeschooling, maybe kind of wishes she did, or maybe she doesn't, but perhaps whose kids are having a hard time in school. And I think it's really, really important to know some of these things to have like better, I guess, understanding or empathy of your kid who maybe is quote unquote struggling in school, but maybe they're actually not. Maybe they just have a different learning style, or maybe they're just not as up to speed in a particular subject as the teacher would like them to be. So obviously I don't even have kids of age yet to be like, I've never been in that situation, but I have just heard so much about it, listened to different podcasts, listened to different moms who have had that story of having the kid who was quote unquote behind. And then they went and looked at like what it was they were being taught. And they were like, I don't even understand that. Like, why is this even the standard? Just so many things that don't make sense. And as parents, when we send our kids into a traditional school setting, we're no longer even in control of being able to see like how and what they're learning. I don't know. I guess it's just, you know, some people are okay with that. Some people are not. For me, I just kept on seeing the screaming pros to homeschooling. So since I talked about my daughter and being interested in one thing and then suddenly asking about bees and suddenly asking about this and that, I want to elaborate a tiny bit. Earlier in the first half of this episode, two-part episode, I referenced like, hey, I'm going to talk about the more general things and then I'm going to talk about like specifics. I'm going to talk about a couple of specifics right now. I might bounce back to generals if I remember some more. But what I want to point out with specifics when I say that, you know, considering homeschooling is really, really specific to the family and the child, the example I want to point out, and I don't want to talk like too much about my daughter because I just feel like, you know, when she's older and she hears my podcast episodes, like I don't want to be talking about like her academic level in detail, like how she is with reading currently in math. I'm just not going to do that. That just feels weird and like a violation of her privacy. But what I do want to reference, because this is more of a personality character trait rather than like an academic level, is she is one of the most like just free-spirited, colorful children I have ever met. And anyone who knows her knows that and agrees with that. If you think of like the typical kind of, you know, the joke of like the movie that the dog is like saying something, 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 squirrel, and he gets distracted. That's kind of her, but like in a good way, like not in a la, 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 she's not paying attention. It's like she literally is so interested in things, but then all of a sudden that interest might just like completely switch up. And she's also very, I'm gonna use the word sensitive, because sensitive in a way that like nothing gets past her. Like if a grown-up says something in a certain way, she will fixate on that and like later ask me like, hey, do you think they meant to like hurt my feelings when they said it like that? Like she literally will read into certain things like an adult would read into things. And I obviously, being privileged to have spent so much time with her, have been able to pick up on that, you know, 110%. Like I know her in and out, and I can literally read her when I see that like some situation had an effect on her to where she's like bothered by something. And I know some people might hear this and think like, wow, Rosie, you're being really helicopter parent to say that, you know, you need to be there at every single moment to help your daughter like emotionally process things. But you know what? At only 5 years old, close to being six, I do feel like she still really needs that support, because even when she's been out of my care for like a stretch of time, she'll have all these things to tell me about like, yeah, and then this happened and I wasn't sure what to do and it made me so nervous and all these things. And I'm just like, you know, the more and more I picture her being in a classroom environment where often you're not able to ask questions, like it's just, I mean, thinking about it, if I were a teacher trying to teach several children that are 5 and 6 years old, it would not make sense to just say you can ask questions at any point in time. It wouldn't. You got to get through what you're trying to get through, and then you can open it up to questions. I totally get it. But thinking about the student perspective, and specifically thinking about my daughter, let's just say she even is engaged to what the teacher is saying. Reference the first half, first half of this two-episode series to see what I mean by that, because I think a lot of 5 and 6-year-olds are going to have a very hard time actually being fully engaged for 8 hours in a school day. But let's just say she is, and let's say a question crosses her mind. Like the teacher says something, they say, let's say, so much as a word that she's never heard of before. They're talking about, let's just say, grammar and like how we use exclamation marks sometimes and question marks and periods. And they say something, some word that she's never heard of before. In a little 5 and 6-year-old's mind, who is an extremely one-track mind at this age, like you don't have the capacity to say, oh, I'll save that question for later and I'm going to keep paying attention. Or like an adult would do, they would take a little note. They would maybe write down even just one or two words to remember that question, and then they would continue paying attention. A child, No. It's much like the urge to go to the bathroom. Like all of a sudden, it is all they can focus on. So she hears a word she doesn't recognize. And I just know this is how my daughter would be, because I've literally seen her do things like this. And all of a sudden, the words coming out of the teacher's mouth sound kind of like blah, 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 blah. And all she can think of is, what is that word I've never heard of? My goodness, I wish I could raise my hand and ask, but she said we can't ask questions. Could that word mean this? Could it mean that? And all of a sudden, that's all they're thinking about. Or let's say she did raise her hand because she is like, I need to know what this word means. And then the teacher says, no questions right now. And for my daughter, like just her personality, she would literally probably feel like her spirit was squashed. Like, I wanted to learn. Like I wanted to know what that word meant. Isn't school about learning? Which, can you blame her? School is about learning. And she heard a word, she didn't know what it meant. So she wanted to ask what it meant. But understandably so, it can't be a free-for-all with questions. So her raising her hand is met with, not right now. Or let's even say she raised her hand to go to the bathroom and it's met with, not right now. I don't know what their bathroom policy is, but it's just like another thing I'm thinking of is like, wait a second, my daughter still needs help in the bathroom sometimes. Like how would that have gone going to traditional school? Like just so many things. Or the way my daughter loves to talk. Oh, does she love to talk? Oh, does she love to talk? And does she love to ask questions? And when I think about in a school setting, you can't do that. You just can't. Again, it's not feasible when you have all these kids. And so me thinking of, okay, let's say it is time that they can raise their hands and ask questions. And she's asking something and then the teacher gives the answer. And then she probably would have a follow-up question because, of course, what 5-year-old doesn't? And then the teacher maybe gives one more quick answer and then says, okay, we really need to move on. And then she says, no, but you know, and then she just asks that one more follow-up question. And the teacher might say, no, I'm sorry, it is time to move on. Again, spirit squashed. And here's the thing. I get it. I went through it. So many people went through it. It's kind of part of like, hey, eventually you got to teach them the world doesn't revolve around them. And, you know, there's a group setting to be had, yada, yada. I get it. I do. But I also just feel like the age in which that transition needs to happen can be put off of it. Like, I don't think it needs to happen at 5 years old. And when I think about the environment at home, where she can ask those 10 million questions and she can go on those like sidetracked tangents of like, hey, I know we were learning about this, but now can we talk about this? And now can we talk about this? And what about this and that? And all these questions getting answered, the way that that is just fueling her desire to learn and her excitement for new things, I think is so important. This is giving her such a foundation of how beautiful and wonderful it is to learn. And the more I think about that, I'm just like, man, I know this isn't every personality, but thinking of her and thinking of going to the structured school setting would just not fit well. I can't wrap my mind around it. And even thinking of, you know, take her personality out of the equation and just think about most 5 and 6-year-olds, I just think of like when she and I, when we're doing school time and, you know, she's working on a workbook or something and she's like, you know, my knees are feeling kind of funny. Is it okay if I lay on the ground and do my workbook instead of sitting in my desk? And I say like, yeah, of course. I mean, that sounds cozy. Why not? Go for it. And just things like that, that I'm like, a kid ought to be able to do these things. Or like if she is just so squirmy and I can tell she's having such a hard time you know, focusing and concentrating to just say like, hey, let's go outside and let's run around for 10 minutes and then let's come back to that. Being able to cater to that is so important. And I just, it's lost in traditional school because you can't do that. You have to have them all on a schedule, which I totally get that. But sometimes for kids, depending on, you know, how they slept or what they ate that morning or just what their general schedule is like or what their blood type is, what their personality is, what their temperament is, like all of that is going to play a part in how long a kid can actually sit and focus for a given period of time. Some kids are going to need that recess a lot sooner than others. Some kids are going to need one long recess. Some kids would do better with fewer spaced out shorter recesses. So I could go on and on and on, but I'm going to jump from that for a moment, and let's talk about the fun of being able to like get out and do things as a homeschooling family. Field trips, if you will. If you think about how exciting field trips were in school, just think that a homeschool family can do that sort of thing whenever they want. And it's so cool because most of it is usually able to be tied to some sort of learning and considered school in some way or another, whether you're visiting a farm or whether you're going to a science center or even going to a park and documenting how many different trees you see or what type of different leaves you can collect. And then when you get home, you know, you can do the little crayon paper project where you're doing the embedding of the leaf onto the paper and looking up what kind of leaves it is. All of these things are just feeding the idea of how fun learning can be into your child's mind. And here's the thing, that is what they need at this age. Again, I don't remember the statistic, but I did read on many different social media posts and podcasts and blogs and what have you, there was this study done, I think it was like Chinese children or something, because, you know, they're always wanting to just look into academics and stuff. They had some kind of study on like kindergartners and first graders who they didn't even start any sort of formal school. I mean, this study must have been humongous in order to yield these results. And obviously they had to continue this study for several years. So the study result in a nutshell was that children whose like structured schooling was delayed by a few years, I want to say like till second or third grade. So their structured schooling was delayed entirely, not lessened or, you know, made different, but completely delayed. So there was no structured schooling for their kindergarten ages, first grade ages, and second grade ages. Those children were literally then proven to be as adults. So like I said, this study must have gone on for a long time, or I don't know how they conducted it. But as adults, they ended up doing academically better. Isn't that crazy? So one would think like, oh, the earlier you start your kid on reading, the better they'll be at reading. Oh, the earlier you start your kid on math, the better they'll be at math. Actually, that's not true. And that's because so much of their mind has not even developed yet. And the parts that need to develop need to be stimulated by play. They need to play. They literally need to play, and they need to use their imagination, and they need to use their creativity, and they need to use their problem-solving skills, and they need to use their risk assessment skills to be like, hey, can I make this jump across this puddle, or do I need to try this smaller puddle first? Like things like that. Can I make it to this next branch in this tree? Can I dig up this dirt, or is it too hard and maybe I need to pour some water in it? They need to play. And when I watch my kids play, my next kid is almost four, and a lot of almost four-year-olds are in, you know, preschool at this age. I'm sure preschool is a lot more about play than structured sitting and learning, but you never know. When I look at them and I think, okay, you guys play so much of your day. I mean, let's just look at my older kid, because she's the only one who would actually be in traditional school if we were doing traditional school. When I look at her in a given day, and I'm thinking about how much she's playing, and she's outside with her brothers and, you know, just or inside in her room. She requests alone time a lot, which I totally don't blame her, because she has two brothers and sometimes she just wants to play with her dolls or something. And I think about how much she plays, using her creativity, using her imagination, just being a kid. And I think about how much of that time would be robbed from her if she were in traditional school. It makes me so sad. I just think, okay, your childhood is so not ready to be over. And I know if your kids are in school, you're probably thinking, whoa, whoa, whoa. My kids' childhood is not over. They still are a kid when they're at school, and they still get to come home and play, and they still get to play on the weekend, and they still get to play in the summer. But you know, it just doesn't seem like enough. And again, this whole episode is all subjective. This is just my opinion. This is me personally thinking about it. But honestly, the fact that we can get our schooling in such a short period of time. And again, this is only the kindergarten level, that 45-minute-ish goal. But even as the years are going on, I mean, we're talking even in the higher, like elementary grades, we're talking no more than a couple of hours a day. And that's just because of the nature of what good quality learning can occur when you have the one-on-one setting and when you can cater to their needs. And then that remaining time in the day can be for play or family time or what have you. So it just seems more and more and more like a no-brainer. And I honestly think she and, you know, my other kids, as they get old enough, will do so much better for being homeschooled. Like the stigma of, oh, homeschoolers are going to be behind academically. You know what? There might be a lot of moms who homeschool for the wrong reasons and their kids are behind academically. I'm not denying that at all. You're going to have kids who are behind academically in homeschool and kids who are behind academically in school. And speaking of that, I also want to touch quickly on how kids are going to learn certain things. Like sometimes there's nothing you can do differently to get them to learn something at a certain period of time. And that might be sort of vague sounding because I said I wasn't going to get into specifics of academics with my daughter, like talking about where she's at with her reading or with her math. But the thing is, some kids reading, something like reading, and this comes from like conversations I've had with my sister, who I told you has homeschooled for her oldest is almost 13. She has pointed out how no matter the fact that she's done everything roughly the same for her kids, some of her kids, the reading has just clicked right away, like literally 4 years old. And some of the kids, it has been a very slow process. So my takeaway from that is that every kid is just different. No matter what you do, sometimes it's not going to click for them. Maybe there's a different area that they're like stronger suited for. And, you know, the reading or something, they're not. And here's the thing, if they were in a traditional school setting, I kind of touched on this earlier, but that would be viewed as like they're behind. And it's just crazy to me because who's to say that a group of 8-year-olds, you know, you just pick a random group of 12 8-year-olds, who's to say that their minds are going to be at the same level across the board of all different academic subjects? That would be crazy. Everyone is different and they're going to have different interests. They're going to have different learning techniques. And so in the academic setting where everyone is expected to be at the same level, and if you're not, you're behind or failing or held back, is just crazy to me. And by crazy, I mean, okay, let's think about it for a second. This kid is now being told that they're behind, or, you know, maybe their parents are being told, and then their parents are having to talk to them and saying, hey, if you don't meet this standard by this date, they're talking about having you repeat that grade. That's wild. Like, they're going to catch up on it eventually. Maybe by the next year, they will be like just fine. But you're going to talk about holding them back an entire grade, which now they're going to be away from their friends, and talk about a smush to their ego and their interest to learn. Like, I bet there's kids who don't ever get back from that. And they're just always feeling like I'm behind in life because I was held back and had to repeat a certain grade. Maybe you were held back a grade and it did nothing but good things for you. So you're right. There could be a lot of exceptions to this. But in general, I just keep thinking about how being held to a certain standard that I think is kind of unreasonable is very damaging to a child to say like, oh, you're behind. Behind by what standard? This standard of expecting everyone to be at the same level just because they're in the same grade is crazy. Okay, next quick thing I want to touch on is family time. And I know I talked about family time in the beginning, but let me just take a quick second to come at it from a different approach because it's so important. When I think about the way of the world, you know, 20 years ago when I was in grade school, and the way of the world now, oh my goodness, things are so different right now. They're scary right now. They're like unprecedented. Like these times are crazy. The darkness out there, the evil out there, the corruption out there, it's everywhere. We are absolutely haunted everywhere we look with the enemy trying to honestly corrupt the minds of our children. It's very scary. It's very real. If you deny it, you must live under a rock because the world is extremely corrupt right now. I can't believe God hasn't already burned us all. Because this world is just very terrifying. And you look back in the times of the Bible when, you know, places where the world was flooded or places were burned because of the sin, and you look at our world now, oh my goodness. Anyway, another episode for another time, but there's a lot of things wrong with the world right now. And what I think is incredibly important for mothers raising their children is to be sure to raise them as morally grounded as possible. That is the most important thing. We are called to raise our children to get to heaven. So when we look at the schooling aspect, now some may argue this and be like, oh, faith isn't as important as academics because they need their academics to be great so they can make it far in life. Okay, what about making it far in the afterlife? Now, hear me out. I'm not arguing that we need to sit and focus and teach them 90% about faith and catechism and only 10% about academics. Not at all. I think academics are extremely important, and that is what I teach my daughter, is like, hey, we're going to put religion in here, like as far as our religion that we're teaching, like that's part of our learning, but we're not putting it as like, this is 90% and the rest of it is 10%. Not at all. We teach it all. We teach all the academics. Teaching about the faith is just kind of laced into our day-to-day life, especially when we go to church. My point is our children being morally grounded, having like mental stability, emotional awareness, and the strength to just stand their own, all of those things that aren't really taught in school, I think are more important now than ever because of what they're going to get out there and face in the world. Now, when I have said a few times that I recently was working, so a few different jobs where I got to kind of have a taste of the world that I haven't had in a few years just because I hadn't been working for a few years. And even prior to that, it was like a pretty small group of people. So in other words, I've had some recent exposure to the way of the world out there. And the reason I say it that way is because our typical circle of people is mostly like our church and our family. So I don't have a lot of acquaintances like fully outside of our church and our family. And that isn't just because like I'm a snobby person who doesn't want to make new friends. It's because these relationships are rooted like way back to the time I was little, and B, the world is kind of crazy. And if I do try to branch out, sometimes it'll end up being a relationship that is like not something I want my child exposed to. And so we end up like, okay, no more hanging out with that person and what have you. So recently being out of my little bubble and seeing what the world is like and seeing how many they thems there are out there, and seeing how many like high schoolers are dealing with things like pregnancy out of wedlock and major like lists of medication that they have to take for their mental issues, and you know, this dad is married to that guy and this mom is split and remarried to her seventh husband, like just so much messiness, so much like unnatural, this is not how things are meant to be, like make you want to just facepalm again and again and again. It was crazy, that exposure. And I'm so grateful for the circle and the bubble that we do have. But knowing what is out there and knowing that what I see on social media, sometimes when I see it, I'm like, there's no way it's really that bad. And then I'll actually encounter something where I'm like, oh my goodness, this is for real. Like people like this actually exist. Like this person who is requesting that I call them a he, him, when it is literally a woman standing in front of me, or vice versa. Like just things that blew my mind. that's what's out there right now. And we're talking, this is what's happening right now. What about what's going to happen 20 years from now when our kids are actually navigating the world in their adult years? It's going to be probably so much crazier. It hurts my head and my heart and my soul just to think about it. So I'm probably needing to wrap this up, but my point being, with a happy medium of like, we don't need to teach our child only about faith and not about academics. No, I'm not suggesting that, but I am pointing out how darn important it is that they are morally grounded, that they have a strong family unit, that you are strongly bonded as a family. And when you think about how much they're gone at school versus if they're homeschooled, and the relationship they can have with you, their mother, and even with their father, because being homeschooled, taking away all of the, you know, take the homework out of the equation and all the things that I mentioned, being able to go on a spontaneous family vacation because you don't have the restriction of a school schedule and what have you, that all is so important. And the more I see how crazy the world is, the more I see the importance of keeping my kids under my wing as long as possible. And it isn't because I don't trust the teachers at my church school. It isn't because I don't trust that there are probably great teachers out there everywhere. I bet there are. But you know what? There's so much crazy out there that I just do not want them exposed to any sooner than they need to be. And I just want them here under my wing where I can give them their very, very, very best shot at becoming the person that God created them to be. Even in my recent job, when I was telling people that we were homeschooling, so many comments, and this is from people of the older generation, told me, like, oh, good for you, good for you. And then even some of the, you know, the older generation, it was a retirement home I was working at, their children, so more the generation of like 50 and 60 year olds, I got so many comments that were saying, hey, from someone who just retired out of the public school system, you're doing the right thing. Or, hey, from someone who is literally a current teacher, bless you for doing what's best for them. And I see those comments all the time on like social media and stuff where it says, I'm a teacher and I wouldn't, you know, if I had kids, I wouldn't send them to school in a million years. And it's just so crazy. I'm just like, oh my goodness, I don't even want to know how bad it is out there. Thank goodness we don't even have to consider the public school situation. You know, hopefully we never will. Thank you, God, for providing thus far. But so many reasons. And I just encourage you, if you are faced with this decision, if you are listening to this because you're not sure what to do, please, please pray about it. Discern and just think of your kid and their personality and their soul and their future. And there really were so many social media accounts that were actually very helpful for me to follow. I will try to link a few in the show notes. I can never remember like Instagram handles off the top of my head, or I would tell you them right now. But I honestly can't always remember them because, you know, sometimes they have like an underscore or something like that. So I will tag some things in the show notes, including a few resources of some downloads that we use. I know you may have been listening to this hoping that I was going to go into curriculum because maybe you're starting homeschool and you're like, oh my goodness, where do I start? As you can see, I had plenty of things to say without even going into that. I thought I was going to go into curriculum, but here we are already plenty of time into the second episode. I don't want to make it any longer. So I just want to wrap up with, again, emphasizing that every family is different and you have to do what is best for you. But the fact that I went from so strongly being certain that my kids were going to go to school where I went to school to suddenly being like, why do I feel not so certain anymore? To slowly but surely teetering further and further and further away from feeling confident about that. And before I knew it, feeling just 110% confident about keeping them under my wing where I can be there to look after every aspect of the development of their mind and their soul and their heart. I think that is the most important thing in the world, in this life and in the next. Again, it's different for everyone, but please, oh please, pray about it. think about it. If you have any questions for me, don't hesitate to reach out. Without further ado, I need to wrap this up. So thank you so much for listening, and God bless you.